For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So this morning we're looking at patient continuance in well-doing, and there is a good message that I believe the Spirit of God wants us to take hold of this morning. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your Spirit that you have sent. And we praise you, Lord, that we have right now your precious word and Spirit, that we may understand your will and go forward. And we ask that this morning you show us through your word the truth of this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We're looking this morning at the patient continuance in well-doing, and this really shows what the way we approach our Christian walk. And this is very, very important, that if we approach our Christian walk swayed by every wind of doctrine, swayed by trouble, swayed by what we see, we're going to have a type of walk that's going to be very, very much unstable. It's not going to be that patient continuance. Now, God has created us anew. The Bible says we are new creatures in Christ, but he's created us to do something. In our heart, we've been born again. We've been changed. We've been created, and that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 2. So let's have a look at Ephesians 2 and understand that we have been created in Christ for a purpose whilst on the earth. And that purpose doesn't change. That purpose, that mission, what we are called to do, does not change in terms of this is what he wants us to go and do. This is what he wants us to be on the earth. As I said before, not people that are swayed easily, not people that are tossed to and fro, but people who are stable, who have what the scripture says, a quiet and meek spirit. Praise God. So Ephesians 2, we're looking verses 10 to 14. Here it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So we have been created in Christ Jesus. So think about that. As new creatures in Christ, we have been created in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't just finish there. It says, unto good works. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's important for us to walk in the good works. It's important for us to see that God has ordained this. So there is a way for us to go, and there are things for us to do, and the Lord has shown us what we should be doing, because it's been ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." So what's that talking about? Well, circumcision in the flesh was talking about a cutting in the flesh, symbolic of covenant. And we know that children of Israel had a covenant with God, and that was a sign of that. The Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision, they didn't have that same covenant. They did not have that same symbol. But notice what it says in verse 12, that at that time, so in other words, at that time when you didn't have a covenant, when you were of the uncircumcised, "At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So what's a covenant but a joining with God? It's not just an agreement, it's a firm joining with God. And we have a covenant, the new covenant, with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has purchased us. Our spirit and our bodies are bought with a price. So we have a firm covenant now. But where were we? What stage were we without a covenant? It tells us in verse 12 that at that time, right back then, ye were without Christ. So you can see that there was a time in your life when you were without Christ. Without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, and we know that the church is spiritual Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. So the covenants of promise talks about all the things, the benefits, the things that have been provided by the Lord, and particularly our covenant that we walk in. When you were without Christ, you were a stranger to that, and you knew nothing about salvation and what's in salvation. You didn't know that your healing was provided. You didn't know that forgiveness was provided. You didn't know about prosperity. You didn't know about strength. You didn't know about these things. You are aliens to it, strangers to it. Stranger, you don't know about it. Okay, you don't know about it. Having no hope and without God in the world. So being in the world, in the world system, what are you doing there? If all of this applies, without hope, without God, without Christ, without a covenant, alien from the Commonwealth of Israel, what are you doing then? We're obviously not doing the will of the Lord, in that you're not going to be working for the Lord, you're not going to be doing the things. The only way you can be working for the Lord is to be created in Christ unto good works. And this is very important. Or, and this is another aspect of it, you do things whereby you're helping the righteous. And some there are people, heathens, who don't have Christ at the moment, who are helping the righteous. Well, they're close to coming into the kingdom of God. Those people can be blessed, and the Lord can bring them in. Praise the Lord. It's a much different case if they're coming against the righteous. But of course, once again, the vengeance of the Lord is that they come into the kingdom of God as well. We saw that with a person like Paul, for example, or Saul at the time, coming in to the church, into the body of Christ. So we understand that there was a time where we were without Christ. Verse 13 says, "But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That's the connection we have. We have that covenant. It's been cut in the blood, okay, and that blood of Christ has made us nigh, made us very close to the Lord. Whereas we were far off, now we are very close. We are knitted together with God. Verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." So now, because there's that middle wall of partition between us that's been broken down, now the access to the Lord and his will is much more is available. Now that access to the Lord and his will means that we can find out what God wants. We can have access into his word, which we didn't have access to. We have the Spirit of God within us who can lead us and guide us into all truth, because he's called the Spirit of Truth. He can show us from the word of truth the way we should go. So it's important for us now to see that when we access that, we access the will of God by the leading of the Spirit of God, that the Lord can show us the right works to do, the good works, whereas in the past, you know, as heathens, we weren't doing that. But now the Lord can show us the good works we need to do. It can be sowing, it can be giving, it can be helping. There's all types of things. Using the gifts that God has given you to preach the word, to bring the gospel to people and so on. To reach out to the world so that they can be reached with the glorious gospel of Christ. To get that word, the word of God out, so that people may believe it. Praise God. So let's go to Romans 2. We talked a little bit about that circumcision representing us having a covenant, and we'll see a little bit in Romans 2 as well. We'll start from Romans 2 and we'll go from 3 to 11 in Romans 2, verses 3 to 11. And it says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same?" So who's, what type of man is he addressing here? He's addressing a hypocrite, isn't he? Now, none of us should be in the category of hypocrite. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We're not in the category of hypocrite. So this is talking particularly to this type of person that judging another and yet they're doing exactly the same. The Bible never says not to judge, because the Bible is very clear in this, that we are to judge righteous judgment. And as the righteous, we're doing that all the time. We're judging the right way to go, and sometimes we do have to judge people and what they do so that we can make a determination, well, I can't be around that person, and so on. Or I can be with that person because I can judge, well, they're of God. So you can see there's that positive side of judgment as well. So verse 3 says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" We talked a little bit about the other day, that the goodness of God in your life, and he's shown you a lot of goodness. You know, if you ought to go forward into the future and get more of God's goodness, you cannot expect to be, as we see in this section of Scripture, you cannot expect to be a hypocrite and not repent of that and expect God's goodness to be at work as well. So you've got to get these things right with the Lord. You've got to get things right with the Lord. You can't despise the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Because the goodness of God is leading you to repentance so you can get things right and get more of his goodness. But the problem here, we see it in verse 5, is the state of the heart. The state of the heart. And what we need to see is if our heart is right, then we will also be able to be right with the Lord and see what he wants us to do in relation to things like good works. Okay. And we see in this section of Scripture that that's what it's showing us. Verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart," in other words, there's no repentance there, "treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." So we have to get things that are not right out of our heart. If there's unforgiveness, if there's wrong judgment, things like that, if we have a heart of hatred, or if we're allowing lies to propagate in our life, all those type of things, we have to get that right, get that out, repent of it, and get the cleansing of the blood of Christ. Verse 6, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." Now, this is important to understand, that there is a rendering or a reckoning that's going to happen in the future. And sometimes it happens quite quickly in a person's life. They do the wrong thing and the judgment comes upon them quite quickly. Sometimes they can go through long periods of their life and the judgment doesn't come. Sometimes there might be some people who will die and won't get the judgment for what the bad things that they've done until after death. Nevertheless, when we're doing the right things here on earth, there's also good things that God's going to render to us. We talked a bit about that goodness of God. So notice it says, render to every man according to his deeds. So he's not just talking about bad deeds there, he's talking about good deeds as well. And he goes on and talks about this here. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing. Now, why does it say patient continuance? Well, you might continue to do the right thing, but not see results for that until some time down the track. Now, the Bible does assure us that we shall reap if we faint not, and that our labour is not in vain. But we have to be patient because faith and patience inherits the promises. That's what the scripture tells us. So here, we are to have patient continuance in well-doing. We don't just do some good things and then say, it's not working, you know. What's the use? Why should I do the right thing when everyone around me is doing the wrong thing? You know, you've probably heard that type of saying from people. But we, as believers in Christ, what have we been created to do? Good works. So it's not a matter of looking at what is all around us and thinking, well, you know, no one else seems to be doing the right thing, so I'm not going to do the right thing. No. God is telling us here that we must have patient continuance in well-doing. As it says there, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. Okay, so obviously there's a seeking. Obviously there's good things ahead. All right? But, verse 8, so there's those who are patiently continuing in well-doing, those who are doing the good works that God has created us to do. But there's on the other side. There's on the other side those who are, you could say, continuing in wrongdoing. Okay, continuing in wrongdoing. You at the moment in our society, we see that all around us. All around us. It says, but, in verse 8, but unto them that are contentious, okay, and only by pride cometh contention. Okay, so all of this talks about a person's impenitent heart, talks about the state of their heart, pride, so on. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what comes about? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. So this is a spiritual law. You're either doing the right thing, in other words, patient continuance in well-doing and obeying the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said, thy word is truth. Obeying the truth, patient continuance in well-doing, doing what God wants, patiently doing it, continuing to do it, even if by sight you're not seeing results or you're not seeing things happening, you're continuing patiently in well-doing. Continuing to sow, continuing to prepare, continuing to build, continuing to do what God wants done. This will bring about good things. But if you go the other way, become contentious and do not obey the truth, and start to do the, you know, things like obeying unrighteousness, then there's indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every a soul of man. That's where it starts. The soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good. Are you one of those that worketh good? You should be saying, yes, that's me. That's me. I'm one of those that worketh good. I'm not one of those that disobey the truth. I'm one of those that worketh good. And you should say, I always do the things that please the Father. Praise the Lord. Just like the Lord Jesus said. You're one of those that worketh good to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. God has set up these spiritual laws. He's saying, if you, and we're talking to Christians here, if you as a Christian are created to do those good works, then you need to be a person that does patient continuance in well-doing. And because of that, there's going to be good things that are going to be coming your way. Verse 10 talks about glory and honour and peace to every man that worketh good. But if you're on the other side of things, and even if you're a backslidden type of person who may have professed faith in Christ at some time, there's not going to be coming good things. Okay, because the goodness of God is leading you to repentance. You need to repent, get that right if you want more goodness. Okay, but there's only, if you're going that opposite way, not obeying the truth, there's only this tribulation and anguish and indignation and wrath that's going to come upon your soul. And the soul, once the soul starts to have these type of things come into it, then it'll affect your health, it'll affect your prosperity, because the Bible says, oh, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So if you're finding things that are affecting your soul, you've got to get these things fixed up and right, so that you can be one of those people that are patiently continuing in doing the right thing. Patiently continuing, as we see here, patient continuance in well-doing. Well-doing. And that should be us. That should be us. We understand what that patience is talking about. The patience, continuing on. Patience is a very strong force within people. If you're not patient, you're going to give up very easily. But if you have that strong force of patience within you, it'll link to your faith, and you're going to be a person whereby there is no going back, no turning back, but I'm going forward no matter what, and I'm going to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. That's the way you've got to be if you want to have what the Lord wants you to have. You know, there's many examples in the Bible about this type of thing. If we were to look at, for example, the example of Joseph, we see the Lord prospered him because he kept with the Lord. He didn't say, well, I've been thrown into prison, everything's bad, I can never get anywhere now. So, oh, you know, that vision that the Lord gave me way back then of me being in leadership, that seems to be completely deteriorated and destroyed. Look at me, how can I ever get anywhere? I'm in the very pit of a prison. You see that story also speaks to us. Joseph was prospered by the Lord so that he even was brought into great prominence and riches and prosperity and influence, so that he could do a work for the Lord in a much greater way. But he had to do that continuance in doing the right thing, even if it meant things were going to go backwards for him for a time. You know, he was only in prison because he did the right thing. You can have a look at that for yourself. He fled fornication. So looking at also Romans 2 verses 28 and 29, let's have a look at that. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now think about this. So we are spiritual Jews, obviously part of spiritual Israel. We have been circumcised in the heart. In other words, spiritually there is a mark in us, in the heart, which is saying we have a blood covenant with God, and that blood covenant is in the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that our circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we get our praise from God, not of men. So men can say to you, well, you've failed, you're not going the right way. Why do you bother with church? Why do you bother with the Bible? Why do you bother with prayer? Why do you bother with that? But you can say, well, my praise is not of you. I mean, I don't care essentially what you have to say with respect to this. But I do highly esteem what God has to say, and what God is wanting to say to me and to the brethren. Praise the Lord. So it's not just an outward sign that we are connected with the Lord and that we are to do what God wants to do. No, there is that inward. And now we walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. As we walk in the Spirit, we're led of the Spirit. We're shown things in the Spirit. And God's Word is Spirit to us. Jesus said, my words are Spirit and life. So God's Word is what's going to show us what we need to do, regardless of what's all around us. So the patient continuance in well-doing. What has God done? He's created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it was a heart thing. There was something put into us so that we now have the facility to be able to do the good works that God wants done. And that's it's in the heart, the spirit, that God is working for us to be able to go forward and do the right thing in Him. Glory to God. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 17. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 17. Now God has invested into us His grace, and that is His enabling, His divine enabling for us to be able to do that work that He wants us to do. In other words, when we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, He has given us the ability, the grace to be able to do what He wants us to do. So of course, there are differing graces. You know, you've probably heard people say, well, that person's grace to do this. Grace to be able to write well, to be able to preach well, to be able to do these technical things and so on. So there are things which the Lord has put into you and me that enables us to do those good works that He wants us to do. It's very important for us to see that. And we see this also in this scripture as we go through it. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 17. Starting from verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Okay, so Paul obviously recognized that he didn't make himself a minister. God made him a minister. All right, and people should never get off the track here. They should say, "Well, the Lord has put something into me to enable me to be able to do what I'm doing." Verse 6: I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What's he doing? See. Paul was graced to do planting. Apollos was graced to do watering. God gave the increase. And if you think about it, the body of Christ It has all different types of members, you know, an ear type member. Well, that ear type member is not going to be able to do the same type of thing as the tongue type member. All right, and so this is important, or like the eye type member. This is important for us to see that there's a grace for us to be able to do what God wants us to do, and so the whole of the body must start to function together so that the whole of the body walks as one man in the earth. And currently, we're not seeing that, but I believe that as the Lord leads his people more and more into what we're talking about here, that there is going to be a great increase in this type of thing in the earth. A lot has been planted in history. A lot has to be reaped in the future. So you see what I'm saying here. And so Paul is saying a lot's been planted, a lot's been watered. God gave the increase, and God not just gave back then, but he will give the increase in the future. Verse 7, so then is he that planteth anything? Neither he that watereth. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So what's he saying? He's not exalting and saying, well, I'm a planter, and it's through my own ability that I'm able to do it, or I'm a waterer. It's not through his own ability at all. It's about God who has enabled them, who has graced them to be able to do that. And he says that a bit later. We'll read in a minute. Verse 5. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So they're part of that one body working towards what God wants to do. Right? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. Now that's part of, we've been created unto good works. We should be labouring for the Lord whilst we're on the earth today. Okay? We should be seeking the Lord. What do you want me to do as part of the body of Christ? And seeking to labour for the Lord. As I said, there's different things that different people do. Different people have been graced to do different things. Now, there are some things I know I haven't been graced to do. There's other things I know I have been graced to do. Glory to God. That's good. That's very good. But we have to recognize what that is and then do it by faith. So, every man shall receive his own reward. So there's a reward attached to it according to his own labours. He can't be like that person who the Lord gave a talent to and then they went and buried the talent. In other words, if we are given something and then we never use it for the Lord, well, God's not going to be happy with that, and neither is there a reward attached to that. Verse 9, for we are labourers together with God. So this is where the body of Christ all together is coming. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. God is doing the building, all right? But he's using people. He's graced. How's he using people? Well, he's graced them to do various things, various works and labours for him. And that's what he says in verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. So that enabling and grace that's been given to Paul, what was he doing? As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Why? Because you don't want to be doing what the Lord doesn't want you to do. You want to be doing what the Lord has called you to do and graced you to do. All right. Patient continuance in well-doing means that you are doing what God has called you to do and shown you to do, and you are doing it patiently, and you are continuing in it, and you know that God, you know within yourself, you know that God is with you and leading you and guiding you and showing you and bringing it out more and more for you. And it's all part of building what God wants to build. He wants to build in the earth his body. He wants to build in the earth his church, spiritual Israel, his kingdom, that to be expanded. And we believe it to be, in the future, it will be greatly expanded to show God's power, to be able to be very prosperous, even in the midst of sin and devils and so on. And this is something which we are part of what God is doing and building. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Obviously, he's the start. He's the foundation. Okay. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if every man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So God is going to judge, and indeed does judge men's work of what they're doing. If you're doing all the things that God doesn't want you to do, if you're trying to pastor a church when God doesn't want you to do that, or trying to do something what God doesn't want you to do, well, that work's going to be burned up. That's going to be nothing. It's going to be useless. So it's important for us to see, where's God graced me? What's he given into me? Now, he can add to that grace. The Bible's very clear to that about that. He can add to that. But you've got to do what he wants you to do with what you've been given already. Praise the Lord. What you've been given already. Romans 5, 1 to 6. Let's just read through that. Romans 5, 1 to 6. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. All right, now God has graced us to be able to stand in him. He's graced us to be able to do things for him. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So we talked about that patience. We have to have that patience. You know, there'll be tribulation. There'll be, but how do you react to that tribulation? How do you react? Do you just give up, or do you say, no, I'm continuing? And my belief and confession, what I say, what I do, how I act, it's going to be in that continuance, in that patient continuance in well-doing. You know, if you stand in that tribulation, you stand, and having done all to stand, that works patience within you. That works patience. And that works experience and hope. Praise the Lord. And then that hope maketh not ashamed. In other words, there's something that comes out of that. There's going to be good things that come out of that, that reward that we talked about before. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that you have called us, that you have created us all in Christ Jesus unto good works. Lord, I pray that all of us are shown by your Spirit, what areas we've been graced to do your good works, Lord, and that we be patiently continuing in the working of that, Lord. Help us and show us, lead us away from doing useless works, Lord, away from doing things that are not going to be of any benefit to your kingdom. Lead us into the good things that are going to bring about reward and are going to build the kingdom of God. Build your work, have your building. We want to give you glory, Lord, and give you honour, and give all of what we have to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.